Good. It's Thursday. Gee, CJ, we've never done this on a Thursday. I'm here with my good friend, CJ. It's been a while. How are you today, CJ?
Doing all right. We're in the basement trying this again. I think last time we recorded down here, we had a better episode than usual.
We did.
So we're going to see if we can bring our B-minus game today.
Well, that was we were fueled, if you remember that day. It was also a Monday. So yeah. Thursday should be good. We have the Celtics game on in front of us. Very excited about the Celtics, as we always are, CJ. And hoping that Porzingis comes back soon, because they need him, CJ.
Yeah, he's supposed to be back, possibly game four. I think if they're up 3-0, knock on wood, that they wouldn't bring him back until the finals. But if they're down 2-1, they would bring him back, and if it's something else, it'll be somewhere in between.
I do agree. I actually would think that had they lost that first game, which by all rights they should have, he might have come back earlier.
Yeah.
Because that was would have been a disaster if they had lost that game.
Yeah, that was the first game I've seen in a while, maybe ever, that both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum came up huge in the same game.
Yeah, but also cost them being where they were to almost lose that game.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown. Tatum. Jaylen Brown had some flashbacks to 4 years ago, and he was turning the ball over.
Yeah. And missing his free throws.
Yeah.
I didn't see it live because I'd fallen asleep. But I would have fouled Jaylen Brown at the 3-point when he was shooting that 3-pointer because he can't hit his free throws.
Yeah.
There's no chance Jaylen Brown hits 3 free throws in a row to tie that game.
Totally.
So you just foul him.
Yeah.
You know? So that was, I would say that was for them a real big win because that was a game they probably should have lost. Probably still would have been fine in the series, but having won it, if you're the Pacers, you're like, that's as close as we may get.
Yeah.
You know, even at home, because the Knicks went into Indiana and beat them a couple times. So, but we'll see. I look, we're very lucky to be watching NBA basketball in late May and hopefully into June.
Yeah. Well, I think it's about as queued up as you'd want it to be. They escaped with a game one win in the Eastern Conference Finals. If they make it to the finals, they're guaranteed to dodge Denver, who was their absolute kryptonite this season.
Yep.
So let's do this. Let's
get I'm not sure I want to play Dallas with what's his name?
Doncic
and Kyrie Irving, by the way.
That's a tough assignment.
That could be, because there's a lot of bad blood there. But look, they're the better team, so we'll see. CJ, to shift gears completely, did you see you and I both about 2 months ago had a conversation with a guy from the Boston Globe. Did you see that article came out?
I saw that it came out. I did not see the article.
It's terrible.
Oh, no.
It's terrible. I don't even... you're not in it.
Oh, thank God.
And you probably spent an hour with him, right?
No, I spent like 20, 30 minutes with him. I could barely hear him when I was on the... I was in Spain.
Okay.
I could barely hear him when we were talking, so he might not have been able to hear me either. And maybe he just like... Maybe he just called it a lost cause and got off the phone with me.
Okay. Well... So I spent...
Do you sound like a good person in the article?
This is where I'm going, CJ. Because I spent a lot of time with him, and his whole thing was, hey, we hear that golf is up during the week due to the pandemic and people working from home and all that. And I said, yeah, that may be true. I said, I belong to a private club, and I'm on my own time, so I guess I didn't notice. But yeah, I probably... am able to get more games than I would have been able to get, 5 years ago during the week. And so his quote to me, and I may have said this and I don't remember, but I certainly didn't say it in the context that he put it in there. His quote in the paper was that I said that I was astonished by how many young members we have that can afford to be at Nishada Country Club. And I'm like, I didn't say that at all. And then, and that can play during the week. And I said, well, I'm sure I said that. But he made it sound like I was the curmudgeonly old man. That's like, what are these young guys doing at Nishada? And it just kind of pissed me off. But this is what happens if you don't get edit rights. So, yeah.
I would say that part A of that statement he had correct.
What, that I'm a curmudgeon?
But... part B is incorrect. I'd say you're curmudgeonly about
some things.
About an octopus's handful of things. But the young people coming in the club is absolutely not right. In fact, you're one of the biggest advocates of the new people coming
absolutely.
In and being part of the social
scene. Who am I going to drink with on Tuesday at 3 in the afternoon unless Pat Doyle walks in? Which, by the way, he does every day. So
yeah, fair.
Anyway, so I'm going on record in case anybody reads the article that is in no way the context of it. And then he also, I had mentioned X-Golf because I said, you know, when you play indoors, you're hitting the screen, you don't hold anybody up. It's a great way to learn. It's a great way to play if you're not that good. But you bring that game outside and you're holding people up and people get angry and all that. And he put it in the article, but not in any context that I gave it to him that made any sense because he doesn't understand the game. You know that because you talked to him too. Anyway, let's get that off my chest because it was kind of like I got 5 or 6 texts yesterday from people who read it. It hasn't actually hit the real paper. It just is on their online edition.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess it's kind of typical. This is what happens. You talk to some for an hour. They hear what they want to hear, and they write what they want to write.
Yeah, and even more so probably they look at it 2-3 weeks later, look at the notes they wrote down, forget the context of the conversation, right. And then put quotes right. into meet the narrative that they're trying to hit.
They spelled my name right, though, so that was good.
I might regret that.
You're right, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway. She said my name is Scott McGavick. JimBoudreau.
Now, Jim Boudreau would have had a whole different take on it anyway. So,
okay.
CJ, we are now in the throes of our first month of the tournament.
And, are you talking about the McGavick Cup or the TWI tournament?
Well, let's go McGavick Cup first.
Okay.
Because my sense is there's so fewer guys play in the TWI that they may tune out afterwards. Although, I'm very interested in talking about TWI. But I got on the website for the first time. I am going to tell you this. I am feeling semi-disassociated with the tournament because I'm not getting all the scores anymore. That's just a me thing. I have to get over that. Because I think the website's working.
It's working well. There's only been one score that came in that was misreported because they forgot to add the 3. There's, you know, that's my fault. There's only 3 or 4 different warnings to make sure that it adds up to 21. I probably should have made it 7.
Yeah, you got to make 8. Like you said, an octopus is handful.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need that at least because remember, not everybody is as bright as you and I. So
yeah, that's fair.
But it appears that at least a good handful of guys have played both matches for May. A lot have played one. I'm going back to back tomorrow and Saturday because I'm playing with Ange tomorrow. And then Saturday, Dean Case was supposed to play, but he came down with the flu. So I have to step in and play for him. So back to backs. That's going to be hard.
Yeah. And speaking of back to back, I played last Friday in our first match with Colin. Tomorrow I'm playing with Slam and Sammy Schulzinger. I've had a hard time walking today, so I'm thinking maybe tomorrow's my Willis Reed or my Kurt Schilling time to shine.
Or Kirk Gibson.
Kirk Gibson.
Could be. Yeah, could look more like Kirk Gibson.
I'll look way more like Kirk Gibson. I'll hit one way down the right field line.
Limp over.
Oh, looks like it went out of bounds. Eck gave up another one.
So where are we, CJ, in the tournament? Like, who is looking good?
You're going to want to cover yours for this.
No, I already saw it. I know. All right, but I'm going to share this with you. They maybe they're 2-0, but boy, you put them together in a TWI and they can't win.
Yeah, the Grip and Sipit, I won't say what my prediction was for them at the start of the year because that will cause my computer to crash. But they're in first place, Dukes of Hazzards in second place. Those are my two picks in the
one, by the way. Remind me who the Dukes of Hazzard is again.
That's Chris Sacco, Patrick Norley. Yeah.
But Grippit and Sibbett has played both their May matches, right?
Yeah.
But the other ones have only played one, correct?
Yeah, you got 4 guys with 0 on that.
Well, one of them is us, and we're going to – and I think the 2 teams we're playing are both 0s, so we're going to – literally and figuratively, we're going to – that'll settle up before this weekend's over.
Flight 2 only has 2 unplayed matches, so good on Flight 2 for getting their work in.
Okay, good.
Josh Anchor Redemption and 3 Guys 1 Rod leading the pack there.
I do think you're going to see some activity this weekend. Particularly tomorrow. I think the tee sheet is packed tomorrow.
Yeah.
Did you see there's a wait list for the Nooners? I don't remember the last time that happened.
Wow.
There's like an 8-person wait list on the Nooners.
Unreal.
Now, I don't know if that's just like they're the people that need to be paired up or if it's literally a wait list. But if you think about it, They start the tee time right at noon, and they go to 1:20. So that's what, 6, 7, 8 tee times? So you can take 32 people. If you have more than 32 people, I guess you got to run a wait list.
Well, we're in the nooners, and we're teeing off at 10:30.
I'm glad I... Oh, yeah, but you're right. So you chose to get a tee time, which is probably smart.
Because we're playing a match, yeah.
Yeah, no, I know, but we're playing a match inside the nooners.
Jeez.
But I signed up the minute the sheet came out because I anticipated... Usually that Friday before Memorial Day is busy, and it's supposed to be gorgeous tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it'll be great. Tomorrow will be a good day. There might be a couple of people at Gary's afterwards. Hope you'll hang.
I mean, I'll be there.
You'll be there at 2:30.
I'll see you at your turn.
See you at the turn. Yeah. but are you concerned at all with the pace of where we are with matches at this point?
I'm not. I think we have 2 matches left of Flight 2. Flight 1 will get it done because they're, by definition, overachievers. Flight 3 will probably miss a match, but, you know, that's Flight 3. That's just what we
have to do. Yeah, but we can't allow that.
They'll get them in. They'll get them in.
Right. See, Jay, we had as you know, we had a bit of a rules. It wasn't contentious by any means, but it was interesting in that, I don't know if you're aware, we allowed women in the pool this year. Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
Yeah. So one of the women, Raquel Smulia, I know I'm not saying the name correctly, but I'm saying Raquel correctly.
Yeah.
She played with Michael, her husband, and the two guys that they were playing against, she was the low person. They played off her ball. And what happened is on the 7th hole, she plays, I guess the 7th hole for women is a par 5. Did you even know that?
Yes, I knew that.
How do you know that?
I've seen it on the scorecard.
All right, then maybe you played for the ladies' tees once. But anyway, so she made par, net par, and the opponent made 5, net four
par.
But there was some thought that because he, but stroke-wise, he theoretically came in lower than she did, that he won the hole. And we checked with, we went right to the pro shop. You went to the rule book, I believe.
I went to the USGA, and I went to some forums because the same question was asked. And in the forums, it said one thing, and then it might have changed because I read the forum from like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I mean, things do change. But if logic would dictate that her par and his par are equal because his par is 4, hers is 5. And that was what they ruled, was that was, even though he had a 5-4 and she had a 5-5, they pushed that hole.
Okay.
And that makes sense. Yep. It's the only hole in the course. So, of course, what it brought up is, oh, my God, what else do we have to worry about? But as it turns out, they play as a par 73. Yep. The women play the course as par 73. Interestingly, almost all, like if you're a 9-holer woman, you play a lot of 9-holes, you're always playing mostly the front. So you're playing the front as a par 37. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
That'd be nice to have 7 as a par 5.
Yeah. It'd make it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Get a lot of pars that way.
Tee off with a 7 iron.
So that was good. It was great to have, you know, dialogue within the tournament. There were a lot of people there that day when we were kind of talking it through. And, of course, everybody had their own opinion. And it was good. It was just good to have that conversation. And then ultimately... come up with a decision that everybody seemed to be fine with. Yeah. So, anything else, CJ, on the tournament? You feel like the website is working?
Website's working.
Do you think we're missing scores that we don't know we're missing?
No.
Is that possible?
No, we would have heard by now.
All right. Are you like, I assume you're not doing this, and I wouldn't expect you to, but are you like looking at the tee sheet and seeing if there's a match being played and then hoping to see, like, are you following a trail or no?
The first couple weeks I did, yeah.
Okay. It's hard to do all the way through the season.
Yeah.
Okay, look, if the website's working, then I'll just have to get over the fact that I don't, I'm used to seeing all the scores. You know? It's weird. But I probably will feel better about it when I input my own scores, you know, over the next 2 days. So yeah. Anything else with the tournament, Sage?
No, I think we're cooking. I think these last 8 days, everyone always procrastinates. It's just that with the way we have the schedule set up, they get to procrastinate 4 times instead of 1 time. So you're going to see a lot of scores flying in the next 8 days.
Yeah, and the and guys who are already reaching out about June. So you look, look, it's a very responsible group. Like I said, we had 100 players come in right on time last year.
Yeah.
So it's not going to change.
Yeah, people are reaching out about June, by the way. We heard from, just today, we heard from WTF, who we have a match against sometime in June. So there's going to be a dark day in June where Master Exploder plays WTF out there on the course.
Wow. That is like, that's world devastation right there.
Yeah, you may have Kramer.
I mean, we may get the drone up for that one.
Yeah, that might be a 7-hour match, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it's Kramer, O'Brien. McCormick. Well, if you play McCormick and O'Brien, that's pretty normal. But you get Kramer and Marty Gomez, and you're talking off-the-wall antics there.
Yeah, we should do them, and then we should have... Throw our high guys out there, Sean and Sam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Has your 36 handicapper played a match yet?
No.
Okay. Are you planning on having him play one?
Yes. Yeah, he was. He had his May work-wise was really tough, but then in June, he starts to be much more available, so he could play the next 3 months much more than he could.
Do you have the, I mean, look, we've been nice to everybody. Do you have the sheet open? Do we have any 0-2 starts? And if so, who are they?
Let's see.
I think I thought I saw a couple guys that are averaging, like, if you're averaging under anything under 10 over two matches, you lost potentially both, maybe not necessarily.
Putt Pirates and Four Balls.
Oh, shocker. Maybe that was a setup. Who knows, CJ? Who are the Four Balls again? Oh, that's... That's one of the new teams, right?
Yeah.
Wait, no. Four Balls is that's the women's team.
Yeah, that's right.
So they have lost both their matches?
Looks like it. Yeah.
I thought they won that match when the one we were talking about, but okay.
Well, I don't know. They might have won that one and then we lost another one by a lot or something. It's hard to tell.
So we did put in the money tree. Whoever's leading after the halfway point, correct?
Yeah.
So someone will win that. We did it last year, but there was a dead tie. Everybody got like $50.
Yeah.
So I think it's $100 a guy. That's what we put aside if you're in first place after four, which is good because then it's kind of a double dip because it'd be hard to imagine you being in first place in the out of 108 players after halfway through and then not making the playoffs. So that, I guess it could happen. All right, CJ, let's move on. I know that you're a proud captain of our TWI team and TWI League. So give us an update of what's going on with TWI.
So we're already at the quarter way point, believe it or not.
That's stunning. That's only three matches.
I know, but there's only 12.
Oh.
So well. I wasn't sure what the standings were, so I just pulled them up on the Northern TWI website. Sitting in first place is Neshonnet Country Club.
Nice.
With an average of 50.5 points.
So obviously that's how you look at it, right? It's on the average because everybody plays different amounts of matches at this point.
Yeah, so like
Are there teams Braeburn, that play more than one match a week? Or how could some teams have more matches than us?
Three teams have four matches already.
So maybe they started a week early?
Maybe they did two in a week or something.
Okay. That would be too much because I got to tell you, I was exhausted yesterday.
Yeah,
I was exhausted today.
I looked back a couple years just to see what we needed to do to make the playoffs and... Long story short, if we average 46 points a match over the next nine, we're likely in the playoffs.
And 46 is not...
46 is a...
Is that winning?
Is a win. 46 is a win. So
okay.
It's not like...
So okay, you have to win.
We got to win. Right. It's not like, you know, we're sitting in first place at the quarter point and we can lose one. Like, okay. We got to keep winning, keep building on to it. And I think we have the squads to do it. We have good teams coming up the next few weeks.
But... I would look at it, I know you're looking at the average points and everything, but I would look at it as how many points are you over 500, right? And we won one match by like 13 or 14, right?
Yeah.
And then we won one by 8, and then we won on the road yesterday by 2,
yeah.
Right? Was it 2 at the end of the day?
I think it was 2, yeah.
So yesterday, I was told that Belmont was a good team. I don't think they had their A team out there, but we started and came in at plus 6, and then Steve Baldini came in at minus 5. So he was thrilled that, you know, after those first two, we were still up one.
Yeah.
And then Marston came in tied.
Yep.
And then Driscoll and Crooker came in minus three, although they at one point were minus six.
That's
and wild. They cut it in, I think, like the last five holes. They cut 3 points, which is huge. That's not giving up. That's like, okay, we get it. We know how this works. We got to salvage whatever we can. And then Shapiro, I forget, Kenny maybe? Who did Shapiro play with? I forget who Shapiro played with. Oh, Shortell.
Yeah.
And they came in at plus four.
Yeah.
Huge win. That was unbelievable.
Huge win.
CJ, we came in 40 minutes before the team behind us.
Oh, my God.
And then they came in a half hour before the team behind them. The third team that came in, which sadly included Kenny Gates, was an hour and 20 minutes behind me.
That's wild. Why? What happened?
I don't know, CJ. It's inexplicable. It's absolutely inexplicable. We sat there. We had dinner. These guys would give me crap because I had to leave to go to the LS baseball banquet. And they're like, well, you got to stay for dinner. I'm like, I've had two dinners already. It was unbelievable. Me and Ange and this one guy, because the other guy did leave. Me, Ange, and this one guy sat there at the dinner table, waited for Baldini's team to come in. And then the seven of us had dinner together for like a half hour before anybody showed up.
That's wild.
It was unbelievable.
Well, did you guys finish fast?
We probably played in 3:30.
Oh, okay. That's
so, yeah, but which is fine. I get it. We're quick. The one guy, the older guy on Belmont, was very fast. In fact, probably, you know how like sometimes you can be like this. Guys are almost too fast. Like they rush a little. He was like that. And he wasn't really thinking things through. And I almost felt like telling him to slow down. But we were like, okay, we're just going to roll with it.
Well, I've played there once before. And I mean, it was maybe a Wednesday or a Thursday. But there was nobody on the course when we played.
So they clear the course for the TWI. I think they cleared, because when we teed off, there was no one we could see for like 2-3 holes.
I wonder if they cleared
the course. That's a nice job to do that.
I wonder if they cleared the course for our reciprocal. We didn't see anybody when we were out there.
Maybe they did. Maybe they cleared for everybody. Yeah. I don't know.
Then we went to have a drink and lunch after in the clubhouse, and there was nobody in there either.
Yeah, the facility was beautiful, and they have a nice outdoor patio and all that. Look, it's a beautiful club. I think that one of the advantages we had, and I'm really surprised that it didn't help Crooker and Driscoll, was the tees we played from the white / blue, whatever it was. Yeah, it was pretty short. I mean, I think I told you, and I was driving the ball okay, but most of the par fours, I was 7-iron at the most in, if not 8-9, you know?
Yeah, I remember playing Belmont, and it felt like Nishadok, but shorter.
Yeah, but I think that's why Belmont, in their TWI, they should think about playing from the blues, because that was much easier. I mean, I was looking back to where we would be playing. I'm like, yeah, this would be a whole different day.
So, well, let me ask you this question. So, from the Belmont team, were you guys able to handle yourselves in a civilized and gentlemanly way around that guy who needed a pseudonym to play golf?
I never met him because, like I said, I couldn't wait for a lot of those guys to get in.
Yeah. There's a guy who altered his name in Jen so that he could be anonymous.
Astonishing.
And no one had ever heard of him.
His name in Jen is like Dan Quinn or something.
Yeah.
But his real name is
something.
Yeah,
it works for the Red Sox or something.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, when you told me that story, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, and you also told me that they kind of fudged with us a little bit in that they said they were going to play from the whites, which eliminated us from bringing some guys we wanted to bring. And then last minute, they moved back to the white blues so one of their guys could play.
Yeah.
That's not gamesmanship. Gamesmanship is when you look at them and you're like, okay, that's kind of smart too. I wish we'd thought of that. That's just bullshit.
Yeah, it's unsportsmanlike. You know what I mean? Unsportsmanlike.
It really is. I'm glad we beat them.
Yeah.
I wish we beat them by more.
I know, me too.
So who do we have on top?
Next we have Bear Hill at home.
Ah, Bear Hill. Bear Hill, that's the one that story I told you about where I didn't get the guy a gimme and he was all pissed off. I said to the guy we were on we played them there. This is a while ago, me and Ange. And we're on the first hole, and the guy's hanging over like a 3-foot putt, right? Maybe more, 3 or 4-foot putt, that to me, like that, that green was tricky. And I was thinking about our tricky green. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to give him that. I don't know how hard that putt is. So CJ, he literally hangs over it, right? Because he's expecting it to expecting us to give it to him. And Ange looks at me and I go, so he go ahead, he finally goes ahead and he puts it and he misses it, right? And he scoops it up and he storms off to the next tee. And Ange and I get in the cart and Ange's like, I think he's mad at you. I go, okay, well, we'll deal with this. So we get to the tee box and he is harumphing around. And I said, do we have a problem? And he said, well, yeah, normally we give those in twi. And I said to him, okay, so what you're telling me is you expect me to give you a putt that you just demonstrated to me that you can't make. I said, so going forward, how about we just put everything into the cup? And you know, in the beginning, they didn't give us anything. But I'm not scared of 3 footers. But yeah, it just there wasn't a lot of chatter after
No, that reminds me of a match I played last year with Baldini, and we were tied through 7 holes. We're going to 8, and I had had 2 putts to win holes in our match, one on 3, one on 6. The one on 3 was like a foot and a half. Might have been a little tricky. I'm like, no worries, not giving this to me. And I put it in the cup. On 6, I hit my third shot to 3 inches. I mean, like actual literal, like just tap in territory. And they were like sat there and watched me like mark the ball, line it up, and put it
But were
in.
they behind at that point?
They
Because I have
were. It
no
was
problem if
close.
you're
It was
behind. It's,
close.
I don't
It
have
was
a problem
close.
with that.
I don't have a problem with it either. And I was like, that's kind of odd to me. It was like tap in, like right on the cup. And I was like, you know, honestly, Steve, I think that they were just kind of like didn't think about it. Like that they just didn't think of it. I
But
was like,
that's
no,
the
I'm not thinking about
problem.
it
You
too much.
start. That's why I hate Gimme CJ, because you then start to think that there's something in the air.
So then we get to 8, and this guy has a putt to tie from about 2, 2.5 feet from above the hole on 8
Which you would
on the
never
right
give.
side of the green, which
Right.
is a squirrely putt.
Absolutely.
Might even be just outside the hole. The guy just picks it up without us saying anything.
For the
Clearly didn't say
and he
anything.
was the guy that was counting? Like he
And
was the guy that was gonna count?
he was the guy who was going to count. And
Wow.
then he goes, oh my gosh, I just realized that that was a was like that counted. So he like put it back down and putted it in. And you know Baldini, like one of the nicest guys in the world. We get
But
the
he's a rule,
cart.
he's just rules guy.
Baldini, I wish this guy had done it earlier because Baldini caught fire for like 5, 6
Oh, he
holes.
just
Oh yeah,
he
he was
played
just
it into his game.
just drilling. Yeah, 15-foot birdie putt, boom, in the hole. Like just everything was going in for Steve after that.
He
So it
didn't
was
play
nice.
particularly well yesterday, sadly. I think he's in one
Yeah,
of
I
those
will say
ruts.
that yesterday when the shenanigan, like kind of this
Yeah, it bothered him,
gamesmanship was
right?
going around
Yeah.
with Belmont,
Yeah.
I strategically texted people on the team who I knew would just put fuel into the fire.
You mean like me?
You.
Well, I don't need that, but
No, I thought, if anything, it might give you a little turbo boost.
So one thing that is great, CJ, about when we go away for the twi is we always go to lunch first.
Yeah.
And so we went to this place in Waltham that was like 10 minutes from Belmont called Grassfields, which was very good. And it was me, Angelo, Brendan, Marston, somebody else showed up.
Kenny?
Jay Wren showed up, even though he
Oh,
wasn't
nice.
playing.
Yeah, I actually saw him
And
after that.
that might have been it. There might have been the 5 of us, although it might have been someone else. I don't remember. But that, like, so it's nice. First of all, you get a good meal, right? Because it was hot.
Yeah.
And anyway, had a couple beers, and we had some camaraderie going. And you know, we didn't show up too early because you don't want to have too much time to kill. And it was great. It was such a nice day, nice night. And I was exhausted. I woke up this morning. I was exhausted. You really put out, it's a full day when you go on the road for a twi.
Oh, for sure.
And I left
Absolutely.
early, like I told you. I don't know if those guys, they may have all gone back to Grassfields for all I know. They might have made a night of it. I just I had to go do my thing. But I like the road matches. But my opinion, you got to play the home matches to earn the road matches. So
Yeah, I agree.
we're home next week.
We're home
I
next
think I
week. Let me tell you.
it wasn't my calendar, so I'm in.
Let me give you the lineup for
Oh,
that.
you wow, you guys work so far in advance.
So I will say this. We need a big win here because let me tell you the 3 matches after that. Bear Hill's at home this week. The following week, we go to Winchester, road match against a tough team on a tough course. After that, we host Wellesley, who we have had trouble with in the past. Next 2 weeks, we go to Braeburn and to Salem.
Yeah.
So those are going to be
tough matches. That's good.
That's like the Red Sox middle of the summer West Coast swing.
Yep. I hear you.
So this week, this next coming match against Bear Hill, we've got Bill Scheid playing with Brendan Driscoll.
Bill Scheid's back. Oh, have to see Bill.
Bill Scheid playing with Brendan Driscoll. Mike Belkner playing with Guy Stutz.
Belkner?
Yeah.
Belky's in?
Wow. Mark Shields playing with John Friedman.
Nice.
Chad Wagner playing with Ricky 2K.
Oof. Poor.
And Scott McGavick playing with Angelo Libertini.
Yes. We usually like to go out first and lead the charge.
Okay. Well, that was not an order of
team. Oh, okay. They're just giving it to us.
But I'll say that if you guys can just keep this clip up of winning by six, that would be lovely.
I don't think you should expect that, but that's our goal. Yeah. CJ, Angelo has elbow issues. Uh-oh. But who doesn't? Yeah. Right? That's what I told him. Everybody has an issues. You got to work through it. Okay, good try update there, Siege. What else do we got? Anything else Nishadok related?
No, I haven't really.
Invitational, we're not going to go on our dissertation on the Invitational again, but we are in a situation where there is now going to be a lottery for
the
very, very few spots we have.
Yeah.
Although I understand that there could be more spots open.
So we'll see. Yes. Stay tuned.
Yes. But it'd be nice if everybody that really truly wants to get in gets in. I think that would make the tournament that much better. So we'll see how that goes. But that's coming. It's right around the corner, CJ.
Yeah. I think the only thing the Nishadok related I've noticed the last few weeks, have you noticed the marked like uptick in the fanciness of cars in the parking lot?
No. Because I drive a Ford EcoBoost, so
I roll in there and I'm seeing Ferraris, Lamborghinis, I'm seeing Cybertrucks.
Brendan drove his Jaguar yesterday and he tried to get inspected and they rejected him, so he's Brendan not driving Driscoll? That. Yeah,
the Jaguar. Wait, has a Jaguar?
Yeah,
is it new
or a Porsche? I don't know.
Oh, the Porsche. Oh, okay.
He has a you know penis car. Okay, you know. Yeah. So. But I haven't noticed that, TJ. What do you? I guess that goes back to my Boston Globe article.
Yeah.
Not only can they afford to belong to Shattuck, they can afford to drive fancy cars.
They were hoping their Ferraris and play a 10 o'clock round on a Tuesday.
TJ, what is this world coming to?
Who are these people?
All right, CJ. Well, I don't have any more. I haven't even looked at the Celtics game. I think it's close. It's early. Doesn't matter. Are we good to wrap?
We're good to wrap, yeah.
All right, sign us out.
Peace, love, and reciprocals.